All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Kuf Hey, the post-concert review wrapped up. Good, we're good. Good. All right, so for today's daf is Kuf Hey. We are picking up Meretz Hashem on Kuf Dalil Amud Beis, Darshe Rishumos, three lines up from the bottom. So what I share this morning is dedicated by Yonah and Shoshi Ehrenfeld in memory of Yonah's grandfather, whose first yard site is upcoming. Reb Gedalia ben Yaakov HaKohen, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshamot have an aliyah.
Amen.
Also, very beautiful, we have listeners from different places who join us on the podcast. So one of our listeners from Boston, by the name of Bobby Lilienfeld, Baruch Hashem, is getting married tomorrow.
She's
dedicating the shir today and tomorrow in honor of his kala, Lisi Michelle, who is an inspiration for me to learn and grow in the celebration of our wedding upcoming this week. So we wish Bobby incredible mazel tov. Shebizocha Meretz Hashem to a beautiful life of shalom, of ava, of achva, and reyos. Halavai they should be zocha to build the bais neman b'Yisrael. Okay, so we'll say, so let's begin. A lot of beautiful gemara today. Darshei Rishumos HaYom. So we'll say three lines up from the bottom. Kuf Dalet Amud Beis 104b. So remember again, we're still dealing with the sugya based on the Mishnah of the individuals who are not zocha to go to Olam Haba. So remember again, we spoke about the kings, we spoke about the commoners, the hadyotos. So gemara says, Darshei Rishumos HaYom. Kulan Bala Olam Haba. So we'll say there is another opinion. And the other opinion explains Darshei Rishumos. Literally, those who go ahead and darshan the various notes held that they do have a portion of the world to come. Again, specifically, we're talking about now the kings. That the aforementioned kings, who the Mishnah said, do not have a chelek in Olam Haba, do in fact have a chelek in Olam Haba. Shene emar, li gilad v'li menashe, v'afrayim ma'oz rashi Yehudim l'chokikim, mo'av sirachtzi al edom ashlich na'alai, alai plushes hisra aris. So remember, the Gemara is over here. The Gemara over here is quoting from the pasuk from Tehillim. So now we're going to dash in each part of this pasuk. Li Gilad, what does it mean? Gilad is mine. Ze Achav. We'll say this refers to Achav. So remember, Li Gilad means, he's the way the Gemara is dashing it over here, is Gilad is mine, which means that even Gilad has a portion close to me. Who does Gilad refer to? Ze Achav. This refers to Achav. Shenafal b'Ramot Gilad. Because Achav dies in the battle in Ramot Gilad. Next, Menashe Kimashmo. Who does Menashe refer to? Menashe refers to King Menashe. So you see over here again, King Menashe has a chiluk in Olam Haba. Ephraim Ma'oz Rashi. Ephraim literally is the strength of my head. Zeh Yeravam. Vikasim Ephraim. This is the first Yeravam ben Nevat, who came from the Shevet of Ephraim. Yehuda Mechokiki. Yehuda is my staff. Zeh Achitofel. This is the first that. Achitofel, remember again, Achitofel wasn't one of the kings. Achitofel was one of the trusted advisors of David HaMelech, who then unfortunately joins the rebellion of Avshalom. He decides ultimately again to commit suicide once he realizes that the rebellion is doomed. You know, we spoke about this in the Gemara. The reason he commits suicide was because if he was to be executed by the king, that's Mori B'Malchus. When you're Mori B'Malchus, ultimately, again, your possessions, your property goes to the king. By taking his own life, he ensured that his property would remain with his family. Nevertheless, the Gemara says he has Chir Olam Haba, top of Kofei, Dekasim Yehuda. Because ultimately, Achitof was a Meshevet of Yehuda. Moav Sirachzi Zegechazi. This refers to Gehazi, Shalaka al Iske Rechitza, that ultimately again was stricken with Tzaras because of the matter of the Rechitza. Now, what is this referring to? Remember, we referenced this episode as well. Naaman, who was one of the generals of Aram, is stricken with Tzaras. He can find no one to cure his Tzaras until he finally comes to Eliyahu HaNavi. When he comes to Eliyahu tells him that he should bathe in the rivers of the Yarden. He is healed. Naaman offers Eliyahu a reward. He offers him riches, whatever he wants. Eliyahu flatly refuses. So Naaman is on his way back home. Gehazi runs after him, and Gehazi, who was interested in acquiring the wealth, tells him, listen, my master changed his mind. We actually would like something. We'd like a little donation in recognition of our services. So Gehazi, of course, doesn't tell Eliyahu about this. Eliyahu finds out, and Gehazi is stricken with tzaras. So the Gemara is dashing over here based on the pasuk that even Gehazi has a portion in the world to come. Shalaka askir chitza. Al Edom eshlach nali. Literally translated, on against Edom, I will throw my Na'ali doesn't mean shuv here, it means a lock from like Lashon of Linol. Zed Doik Ha'adomi. Rabbi, this ultimately again refers to Doik Ha'adomi, who remember again was one of the trusted servants of Shaul, but who was the man who was responsible really for the massacre in Nov. So ultimately, even he has a portion of the world to come. Alai Plashes Israel, Arum Malachi Asheris. Supposed to listen to this. Malachi Asheris said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom. Supposed to get ready for this. So according to what we've just learned over here, all of these individuals have a chelik in Olam Haba. Despite the fact that we've seen before that according to many, they are considered to be Rishon who do not have a chelik, the Gemara's opinion is that they do have a chelik. So Amar Malachi Asheris in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim said before the Ribono Shalom. Ribono Shalom, Im Yavo David Shaharigesa Plishti, Vahorish Banecha Gat, Ma'ata Osalo. So if David HaMelech comes along, and he goes and he sees these people in Olam Haba, and he begins to complain to HaKadosh, he begins to complain to you, what are you going to say? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the first short line in Rashi, on the right-hand side column. Im Yavo David Shaharigesa Plishti, V'yitzak Lefanecha, Al Sha'ata Nosin Chelik Ledoeg, V'achitofa La'Olam Haba, Ma'ata Osala Hafiz Daito, Sheheim Hayusonin Oso. We'll say, what a fascinating statement. The Malachi Asher says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, if David HaMelech comes to Gan Eden, and he comes to Olam Haba, and he sees that you have Doeg in there, right? Doeg was horrible to David HaMelech. You see Achitofel. Achitofel perpetrated such a terrible betrayal of David HaMelech. And David sees them in Olam Haba. And essentially he says, what are these guys doing here? What are you going to respond to him? So let's listen to this. So the Amr Lahen, so what does Kadosh Baruch Hu respond? Alai la sosan reyin zedze. Listen to this beautiful answer. The Ribbono Shalom says, it's my job to make shalom between them. It's my job ultimately again to create friendships between them. Look at Rashi. Amar lahem, alai lefaisan v'la asos reyin v'ahuvim zelazah v'hinu histro'oi lashon reyos. So Ribbono Shalom says, if the other male comes and he has a taina that achitofel, that doig on olam haba, it's my divine mandate. It's my divine job to make shalom between David and those who oppressed him so horribly in this world. The Rebbe says is incredible. What the Gemara is really saying over here, Rebbe says, is that this is Olam Haba. Olam Haba is a world shekula shalom. It's a world ultimately again without strife, and it's an existence without animosity, and in its existence ultimately again where all previous difficulties and interpersonal fallouts are somehow settled. Madua Shova Amazeh, supposed to have the Gemara's quoting over here from the Prasak from Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Madua Shova Amazeh, Yerushalayim Meshuvah Nitzachas Echziku B'tar Mismanu Lashuv. So what does this mean? So the Gemara says, now the way the Gemara's darshaning is the following. Madua Shova HaAmazeh, the Gemara's darshaning is, why does this nation always have an answer? And what does that mean? Amrav, Tshuva Nitzchis Hishiva Knesses Yisrael Navi. And I will say, part of the problem that Klal Yisrael had, and the reason why we were never really able to do, not able, the reason why we never did Tshuva, even as the Nevi'im rebuked us and gave us Musar, was because we always had an answer. Klal Yisrael always had an answer. So the Gemara says, Amrav, Tshuva Nitzchis Hishiva Klal Yisrael the Navi. Klal Yisrael always had an answer for the Navi. Amar lahem Navi, for example, the Navi said to him, this is referring to the Navi Zechariah. The Navi Zechariah says to them, Chizr b'tshuva. So then listen to this. So the Navi says to Klal Yisrael, they're sinning. So the Navi says very simply, do tshuva. Avoseichem shechatu heicham hein. After all, again, your forefathers who sinned, where are they now? Amar lahem. So Klal Yisrael responded, so what does Klal Yisrael say? And the prophets who gave us Musar, where are they? What the people said was the following. Yechezkel says, look what happened to your forefathers. They died. To which the people respond, Shkoyach. The Nevi'im that gave them Musar also died. Right? Everybody dies. Said at the end of the day, what's the raya? So the Gemara says, Shinemar, Avoseichem Ayehem, Vanivim, Hali Olam Yechyu. So again, the Navi says, where are your forefathers? And the Nevi'im ultimately again, will they live forever? Amar lahen, Avichem Chazru Vahodu. Your forefathers went ahead and did tshuva, right? They went ahead, Chazru, they did tshuva, and they admitted their sins, Shinemar. Ach divrei v'chukia shetzivisi as avdi anavim. Shmuel, I'm supposed to say, Shmuel says that the exchange was like this. Bo asara b'nei Adam v'yashvu lefanav. That there are 10 people, I will say, who sat before the Navi. Amar lahem, chizr b'tshuva. So the Navi was speaking to a smaller group, and he tells them, do tshuva. Amar lo, Evet shemachru rabo v'isha shegir shabaylo klum yesh laze al ze klum. To which Klal Yisrael responds to Navi, and they say, listen, Navi, if an Eved was sold by his master, or a man divorces his wife, do they have any claim? I mean, once a master sells his Eved, does the master have any say over what the Eved does? Once a man divorces his wife, does the husband have any say over what his wife does? So Klal Yisrael, what the Klal Yisrael is saying to the Navi is essentially, the Ribono Shel Olam sold us out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the master who sold us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the husband who divorced us. It is He, God, who has distanced Himself from us. So if anything, again, if anyone has to repair the relationship, it's not us, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, Amar Lahen, to which the Navi responds to them, Aye Sefer Krisos Imchem, Asher Shalachtiha, O Mi Manoshi Asher Macharti Eschem, Lo, Hein Ba'avonoseichem Nimkartem, Or b'sheichem shilchu imchem. So to which the Navi responds, that's not fair. Don't blame it on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu divorced you, where's the get? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu sold you, where's the bill of sale? Let's be honest. The reason for the fracture and rupture in this relationship is not because of God. Do not blame the current state of affairs on the Ribono Shel Olam. The reason why things are the way they are is because of your sins, or because you chose ultimately again to betray the relationship. So we'll say Reish Lakish makes an amazing observation. It calls David the Abdi, calls David the Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it also calls Nebuchadnezzar the Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the pshat? It was revealed and known before those ultimately again who said that the world should exist. That ultimately again, the Ribbono Shel Olam knew that Klal Yisrael would make the claim that God sold us out. That we are like the Avadim, we're like the servants who the master sold to another master. Kadosh Baruch Hu sold us ultimately again to another master. Lefichach, therefore, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Lefichach, hikdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'kara avdo. Therefore, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? The Ribbono Shel Olam goes in and calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. Eved shekana nechasim, eved lemi, nechasim lemi. Rabbi, listen to this. By calling Nebuchadnezzar the Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, what did that say? What that said ultimately again is, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sold us out to Nebuchadnezzar, but at the end of the day, Nebuchadnezzar is the Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if I sell something to someone who is the Eved who belongs to another master, then who does the property that the Eved acquired belong to? Belongs to ultimately that master. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if Nebuchadnezzar is the Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see, even if Klal Yisrael ultimately is sold out to Nebuchadnezzar, we still belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Nebuchadnezzar is the Eved of the Ribbono Shel Olam as well. So the Gemara goes weiter. Va'ola al ruchachem, and ultimately again here, the Gemara is quoting over here now from the pasuk from Yecheskel. Va'ola al ruchachem, hayo, lo siya atem omrim niya kagoyim.
So
we'll say, so the Navi says something amazing over here. The Ribbono Shel Olam says that there'll come a point in time where he's going to get so fed up with us that he's just going to impose his rulership on us. In other words, after enough time of not recognizing his monarchy and not recognizing his rulership of our own volition, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm going to get so fed up with you that I'm just going to impose myself on you. So we'll say, listen to this. Am Rav Nachman, kol ki arischa lirsach rachmana alan ulaforkinon. To which Rav Nachman says, halavai, that they should come. Ribbono Shel Olam, just get angry enough with us that you imposed your rulership upon us. It literally is Lashon HaKodesh. God, get angry like that. But get angry like that, and ultimately again redeem us. In other words, what Rav Nachman was ultimately saying is, Ribbono Shel Olam, carry through on the threat. You're threatening that there's going to come a point where you're going to be so upset at us, so dissatisfied with our inaction, that you're going to impose your rulership on us. Go for it. Go for it and redeem us with your imposed rulership. So I'll say this again, it's off with a very beautiful idea. The Yisro Lemishpat, Gemara of your quotes from the pasuk from Yeshaya. The Yisro Lemishpat Elokav Yorenu. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Lohen Navi Yisrael. The Navi says to Klal Yisrael, Chizro B'tshuva. The Navi will say, the Nevi'im all have one same basic message, which is, do tshuva. The tshuva, chizur b'tshuva. So, but here's the issue about that. Klal Yisrael always has an answer. Amr lo, ein ani yicholin, yitzahara sholeit banu. What does Klal Yisrael say about that? We can't. We can't. There's yitzahara. Amr lahem, yisru yitzreichem. So what happens? So the Navi says to them, literally, yisru yitzreichem means afflict your yitzer. Which means what? Which means what? Overcome it. Overcome it. I understand you have yitzer. We all have yitzahara. But ultimately, again, overcome your Yetzirah and accomplish what you need to accomplish. Amru lo, Klal Yisrael responds, Elokav, Elokav, Yorenu. Literally, the God who created the Yetzirah should come and instruct it not to go ahead and afflict it. So we'll say there's this tug of war. So the Navi says, do tshuva, Klal Yisrael says you have a Yetzirah. The Navi says, overcome it. Klal Yisrael essentially says, we can't. We need a HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created it ultimately again to vanquish it. We'll say, what do you say? What's the takeaway from this Gemara? The takeaway from this Gemara, we'll say, is there are some people who always have answers. There are some people who, even when confronted with the truth of what they should be doing, always have something to say. Come and learn? I can't. Come and do this? I can't. Come and take this on? I can't. They always say, if you're looking for answers, if you're looking for excuses, there is no shortage. But if you want to know why we are still in Golos, 2,000 years why we're still here, it's because our ancestors had plenty of answers as well. When the Navi confronted them and said, listen, it's very simple. All the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to do is tshuva. All the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to do is overcome Yetzer. The Navi said, I'll help you. I'll help you. There's a way to accomplish this. They always had an answer. We'll say, if you go through life always having answers, then ultimately, again, you never succeed in the ways that you can. You never accomplish the things that you can. Because Lamaisa, at the end of the day, if there's one thing that there's never a shortage of, it's excuses. So a person has to make a choice in life. Am I going to be the excuse guy where every single time I'm confronted with something I have to do, I have a wonderful, fantastic, like airtight excuse as to why I can't do it? Or I'm the kind of person, ultimately, again, who is mekabel, that I may be deficient in certain areas, and I need to find the strength to be mekabel the Musar, I need to find the strength, ultimately, again, to be mekabel the Taina, and ultimately find a way to grow. And I'm both saying, it's the choice we have to make each and every day as individuals. It's the choice we make as a collective. And the only way, ultimately, to turn our personal and national situation around is to stop making excuses and to use that same energy, those same kohos, for dynamic, cathartic activity. Gemara goes like, Arba'i Yotos. So I'll say, remember again, the Mishnah said, there were four commoners, four individuals. Ultimately, again, don't unfortunately the world to come. Bilam, Doeg, Achitofel, and Gehazi. So Gemara now is going to speak about each of these individuals. Bilam. We both say, who is Bilam? So the Gemara understands that the name itself is a contraction. Bilam, a man without a nation. In other words, we both say that who was Bilam? Bilam was a prophet for hire. He has no allegiances to anyone. Whoever will pay him the highest amount of money is like a prophetic consultant. You know, again, nothing wrong with consultants, but even a consultant has to pledge allegiance to someone, right? Bilam is a consultant with no allegiances to anyone. Bilam, Dover Acher, Bilam, Shebalaam. Other possibilities, Bilam means Shebalaam. He confused Klal Yisrael. We'll say what it means is Shebalaam. Rashi says Shebilba Yisrael. Remember, again, even when Bilam fails to curse Klal Yisrael, what he does do is he gives Balak, the king of Moab, the one piece of advice that did work, which was the Achilles heel of Klal Yisrael is immorality. That sparks the whole episode with Benos Moab, that ultimately, again, Benos Minyan, excuse me, that ends up with the episode of Pinchas. Ben Ba'ar. Why does he call him Ben Ba'ar? Sheba al Bi'ir. So we'll say Bi'ir, Bi'ir means a beast. Sheba means he engaged in acts of bestiality. We'll go ahead and we'll expound on this a little bit. Tana hu Ba'ar, hu kushan rishasayim, hu lavan ha'arim. Rami, we'll say this is actually an amazing statement. So Ba'ar, Kushan Rishasayim. Kushan Rishasayim is one of the people who oppressed Klal Yisrael during times of Yoshua. Hulavan Arami. They're all the same person. I'm also saying, whenever you see the Gemara say this, it could mean they're the same person because these individuals live in dramatically different time periods. What it probably means, the Marashah brings down, is they're all descendants of the same Mishpacha. They're all related. So the Gemara says, Ba'ar. Why is he called Ba'ar? Sheba Abir. Because he had relations with his donkey. Well, Ba'ir literally means beast. We're going to see it means donkey. Risha Saim, Da'avad Shtei Rishios. Risha Saim is called because ultimately, again, he impacted Klal Yisrael negatively in two ways. Achos, Bimei Yaakov. one time in the days of Yaakov, a reference to Lavan. V'achas b'mei shvot ha-shovtim. But say second white line, kuf hei madalif. So the Gemara says, mashmo, always his real name, Lavan ha-aram yishmo. His real name was Lavan. Ksiv ben bar, uksiv b'no bar. So it's actually very interesting. The Torah identifies Bilam in two ways. On one hand, it calls him the son of Ba'ar, and then it also seems to say that Ba'ar was his son. So which one is it? Is Ba'ar Bilam's father, or is Ba'ar Bilam's son? Am Rabbi Yochanan Aviv Binohu Lo Benevius. No, really, Ba'ar was Bilam's father. It was Bilam ben Ba'ar. But Bilam's father, Ba'ar, was Bilam's son in terms of prophecy. Well, say, so what does that mean? That means at the end of the day, Bilam was a greater prophet. Apparently, Ba'ar was also a shtickle prophet, but apparently, Bilam was a greater prophet than his father. So his father, Ba'ar, was like a son to Bilam in terms of prophecy. Bilam, Hudlo Asilama. This is a fascinating discussion. Third wide line, Kufhem Adalif. Bilam Hudlo Asilama. Now, both say what you can infer from the mission is the following. Bilam doesn't have a portion in the world to come. Ha Achrini Asu. But I will say, what can we infer from here? We can infer that other Gentiles do have a portion in the world. I will say, this is actually a fascinating discussion about, you know, in general, we have this concept, you know, when a person comes to convert. So the Gemara has a whole discussion that we have with these individuals. And one of the primary things is, you should not think that you have to be Jewish in order to have a chilek in Olam Haba. If you're a righteous Gentile, you have a chilek in Olam Haba as well. Now, this apparently is the shaila, of course, is what type of Olam Haba? Where is that Olam Haba? Is that same Olam Haba that Jews go to? So the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says the fact that the Mishnah singles out Bilam as someone who does not have a portion in the world to come tells us that what? That what? That Stam a Gentile, a good Gentile, does have a portion of the world to come. Ha'achrini asu, to which the Gemara says, well, say, take a look at Rashi. It's the top Rashi on the left-hand column, second line in. Ha'shar nachrim asu, kilomar, midika chashuv tana demas nisim de bilam, shay nachri bahadi ajotos, ve'kamer de nochelek michlal de shar nachrim yeshlem chelek. It appears that other Gentiles, a righteous Gentile, does have a portion of the world to come. So the Gemara says, Masnisin money. We'll say, so whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? Rabbi Yoshua. It reflects the Rabbi Yoshua. Disanyo. We lived in a Raisa. Rabbi Elazar Omer. Yashuvu Risha'im L'Sha'ola. Kol Goyim Shechei Elukim. So we'll say, the Gemara over here quotes the Pasuk. Quotes the Pasuk from Tehillim. Literally, Yashuvu Risha'im L'Sha'ola. The Risha'im shall go to the Sha'ol. The Shabbos refers to the depths, usually a reference to Gehenna. Kol goyim shechei elukim. All those nations who forget God. So we'll say, watch this. So the Gemara says, Yashuvu Risham l'shola. So the Risham will go to Gehenna. Elu po sheyisrael. This refers to Jewish sinners. So kol goyim shechei elukim. Who is it? All of the nations who forget God. Elu po shei avodei kochavim. We'll say, this refers ultimately again to Gentile sinners. Gentile sinners also ultimately go to Gehenna as well. Divrei Belazar, I'm not Rabbi Yeshua. V'chi ne'amar b'chol goyim. Does the pasuk say b'chol goyim? Lo ne'amar ela kol goyim. Shechei Elokim. So how do you dash in the pasuk? Ela yashuvu risham l'sha'ola. The risham ultimately will go to the sha'ol, will go to Gehenna. Who are they? Manin who? Kol goyim shechei Elokim. All those who forget God. So what you see from Rabbi Yeshua Bros, his drasha is, only those who forget God go to Gehenna. Which you understand to mean what? That those Gentiles, as well as Jews, who do not forget God, do not go to Gehenna. So Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that righteous Gentiles go to Olam Haba as well. Va'af osarasha nasam simen batzimon. Even Bilam himself gave a simen. What was the simen? Amar tamos nafshi mos yesharim. Im tamos nafshi mos yesharim te'achrisi kamo. If I die of natural causes, Bilam said, if I die of natural causes, that is a sign that I'm going to the world to come. Ve'eblav, but at the end of the day, if I don't die a natural death, then hineni holech la'ami. Then I'm going to my nation. Going to my nation is a reference to what? I'm going to join the other idolaters who go to get him. Now, of course, we know Bilam does not die a natural death. Bilam is killed. So the Gemara says the following. So remember again, going back to the beginning of the Bilam story. So remember again, Balak, the king of Moab, dispatches emissaries, ultimately again to Bilam, to get him to curse Klal Yisrael. So what does the Pasuk say? So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian come to Bilam. Tana, We'll say, so remember again, the Gemara is quoting something very interesting. Historically, Midian and Moab never got along. Never got along. So Mashal, what could it be compared? So we'll say, so the Shaila is, if they never got along, then what? Then what? Then why are they both sent? Apparently, they're collaborating here. Right? They're working together to hire the service, to hire Bilam, to curse Kal Yisrael. So why are they working together? So listen to this. Mashal l'shnei kelavim shahayu be'eder. This can be compared to two dogs who used to go ahead and guard the flock. Vayutzuhuvim zelazeh. And we'll say they did not get along. Tzuhuvim zelazeh means they hated each other. What happened? Ba'ze'ev echa ala echad. So a wolf attacks one of the dogs. Amr ha'acher, the other dog says, Im eini ozro, if I don't help the first dog, then horigoso, the wolf's going to kill it. Ulumachar ba'alai, and tomorrow the wolf is going to attack me. Therefore, halchu shneim bahar gwazev. Therefore what? The first dog decides to collaborate with the second dog in order to kill the wolf. Rabosai, the collaboration is not because the first dog loves the second dog. Why is there collaboration? For its utilitarian collaboration, ultimately, again, the second dog realizes that if the first dog dies, he's next. Rabosai, so therefore the Gemara says, essentially, like we said in the Navisha yesterday, right? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So the idea over here is, Midyan and Moab says, listen, we hate each other, but here's the good news. We might hate each other, but what? We hate Bnei Yisrael more. Right? We hate Bnei Yisrael more, so let's collaborate together to neutralize the impending Jewish threat. So the Marzav Har Guazev. So what happens? The dogs get together, and they go out and they kill the wolf. So to again, Midyan and Moab to say, let's collaborate together to neutralize Kal Yisrael. Amar Papa, Hainu Damri. So we'll say, this is what people say. Inshi Karkushta, I'm sorry, Hainu Damri Inshi, this is what people say. Karkushta Vishonra of Duhulula. The weasel and the cat make peace. Mitarba de bishgado, and they feast on the fat of the guy with bad mazel. But it's one of these. It works much better in the Aramaic. It totally loses it. It loses it in the translation. But the idea is that apparently weasel and cats are natural enemies. Are natural enemies. But yet the weasel and the cat will work together to attack so that they could kill the victim, feast on its fat. On its fat, whatever, whatever. So they team up together to kill other animals. The idea is that the way the world works is, enemies often unite to go ahead and fight even a greater enemy, a common enemy of theirs. So we'll say, so what happens? So even though the elders of Moab and Midian come to Bilam, interestingly enough, it's only the officers or the nobility of Moab who come back with Bilam. Where did the officers, where did the Sarim, where did the noblemen of Midian go? Vesari Midian Lehechan Azul, Kevan Damar Luhu, Linu Pa'alai Levashivosi Eschem Davar, Amru, Klum Yish Av Shesone Espino. So we'll say, listen to this. Remember, when the elders of Midian and Moab come to Bilam, so Bilam says, listen, I can't tell you, you want me to come curse Kali, so I have to ask God, stay here overnight. God normally communicates with me overnight, and I'll tell you in the morning what the answer is. So as I say, interestingly enough, the elders of Midian realized, seeing what they thought was that Bilam had like some independent powers. So if Bilam had independent powers and he could make decisions about cursing or not, then fine. Once they realized that he doesn't have independent power, that he has to consult with God, so the elders of Midian left. They said, essentially, this guy's never going to be successful. Why is he never going to be successful? Because the Baal Shem loves his son, Klal Yisrael. And God, what father allows his sons to be cursed? So at the end of the day, they realized that in the moment they realized that Bilam did not have independent power or autonomy, he was not going to be able to curse the people. Am Rav Nachman. So also Rav Nachman goes on. Well, it's actually a very beautiful Gemara. I'm Rav Nachman. Chutzpah, afilu klapei shmayim bahani. So Rav Nachman says, chutzpah works even with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meikarak siv lo selechi moem. In the beginning, God says, don't go. God says to Bilam, don't go with the officers. Ulabasov ksiv kum leich itam. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go with them. So what do you see from here? Bilam had chutzpah. Bilam had chutzpah. What was the chutzpah? He wants to go. And he keeps shepherding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to which the point HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, finally, go. Ulabasov ksiv kum leich itam. I don't know, Sheish says, chutzpah mahusa balotagahi. Sheish says that chutzpah is like a king without a crown. Right? It wasn't a king without a crown. That chutzpah both sides could impact incredible things. In other words, chutzpah has the power of the monarchy without having the crown itself. Dichsiv, as the pasuk itself says, Vanochi ayom rachum ashuach melech vanashim ha'ele b'netzruya. So I will say, we're not going to get into this, but essentially, what David HaMelech is saying over here, this is after the episode when Abner ben Ner came to make peace with David, to go ahead and join the two kingdoms, the remaining kingdom of Shaul with the kingdom of David. And Abner ben Ner was assassinated by Yoav ben Tzruya, much to the chagrin of David. David HaMelech sent Abner ben Ner in peace. Yoav ben Tzruya kills him as he's on his way back to the descendants of Shaul to say, let's have the monarchies make peace. But David HaMelech says, I don't have the ability to stand up to Yoav ben Tzruya. The chutzpah of Yoav ben Tzruya was so powerful that even the king was powerless against him. So the point the Gemara is making over here is that what? You see that chutzpah has an incredible power. Now, I'll tell you something amazing. So there's a beautiful insight here about chutzpah in the name of the Degel Machaneh Ephraim. So listen to this. Kashera Adams, just show you the power of chutzpah, good chutzpah. Good, I want to say we're all familiar with negative chutzpah, but there's a powerful chutzpah as well. What's the powerful chutzpah? Kashera, listen to this. Kashera Adam Ma'azamrit from Dega Machna Ephraim. Kashera Adam Machzik Atzma Ba'anava Veshiflus Yisera. Yala Bedaito. Shetorasa Utfilasa Inoklum. So we'll say sometimes a person, when he feels very humbled, person feels I feel like in a low place in life, to the point that I feel my davening is not really worth anything, my learning is not really worth anything. If a person consistently remains in this humble mindset, sometimes when a person begins to think, what good is my tefillah? What good is my learning? Unfortunately, the next step after that is a person stops learning, person stops davening. B'matzav kazeh, chutzpah mahanya. Also, the Gemara teaches us that sometimes a little bit of chutzpah is good. Dahainu, yischazik atzmo b'chol kochol la'avodas Hashem, limros hagishosav, v'yitar b'libo, kitfiloso, visaroso, osim roshem godol l'mayla. Also, the Degel Machaneh Ephraim says something so beautiful. There's sometimes a person has to have a little bit of chutzpah. And what's positive chutzpah? Positive chutzpah is when a person says, I am important. My davening is important. I don't always have kavanah. Okay. You know, Bosai, davening without kavanah is better than no davening at all. My learning is important. I'm sleeping through half of the shiur, or I'm not paying attention, or my mind is elsewhere. You know, Rabbi says sometimes showing up is three quarters of accomplishment. At the end of the day, I'm here. At the end of the day, I'm present. Okay, maybe I'm not operating on all cylinders, but Lamais, at the end of the day, I'm trying. So it says Degel Machaneh Ephraim, that's the Gemara, says sometimes you have to have a little bit of chutzpah. Shalom. I know that it's not perfect. My tefillah is not perfect. My Torah is not perfect. My chesed is not perfect. My midos is not perfect. But you know what? I'm doing great. I could do a little bit better. I could do a lot better. But at the end of the day, I'm doing great. That's the Gemara says, chutzpah ma'ayin. We'll say sometimes you have to be a little bit of a chutzpah. Sometimes you have to be a little bit of a bal chutzpah. Because it's only through that chutzpah, ultimately, again, that we have the koach to keep growing, the koach to keep doing, the koach to keep accomplishing. Incredible. Incredible, incredible Gemara. So the Gemara goes weiter. Sorry. The Gemara goes weiter. Fine. Amar Rav Nachman. All right, we did that. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan. We'll say four lines from the bottom. Bilam, chige beraglo achas haisa. Bilam, I will say, was crippled in one of his feet. So the Gemara says, Shneamar vayelech shefi. Pasuk literally says he was limping. So the Gemara goes like there. Shimshon bishtei raglov. Shimshon was crippled in both of his feet. Shneamar shefifon ale orach hanoshach ikvesa. So both sides actually talking about by the brachas and parshas vayichi by the shevet of Dan. So Yaakovinu says that Dan is like a serpent that slithers. So the imagery the Gemara is giving is that Shimshon was from Shevet Dan, also slithered. I mean, he couldn't walk, he pulled himself. Now, I will say the Maharsha says that this can't be understood literally. Rather, I will say what it means is the following. Everyone in life has a handicap. Everyone in life has a deficiency. Everyone in life has a weakness. Some people have greater weaknesses. Some people have smaller weaknesses. Sometimes the greater you are, the more pronounced your weakness. Right? They both say, so Shimshon, who was great, he was crippled in both legs, he had some pretty overwhelming handicaps. Not physical, per se. He had some overwhelming weaknesses. And yet, again, it was his avoda in life to try to overcome them. So the Gemara goes weiter. Bilam, suma ba'achas meinafaya. Bilam was blind in one of his eyes. Shnei emar, shesuma ayin. Ultimately, again, it says, he who saw with one eye. So we'll say, again, whether that's literal or whether it's saying perhaps more metaphorically, that unfortunately Bilam's vision was impaired. He was unable to see things for what they really were. Kosim ba'amasuhaya. He did sorcery with the makomila. Ksiv hacha nofel ugluy einayim. Uksiv hasam vine haman nofel al hamita. So we'll say, just like by Megillah says, vine haman nofel al hamita, he fell on the bed in a way which looked like he was trying to take advantage of Esther Hamalka. So to again, the Lashon of nofel also by Bilam indicates that he did sorcery again with the Makomila. Itmar Marzucha Amar Kosein Ba Masahaya. That ultimately, again, he did sorcery again with the Makomila. Shmar Berid Ravino Amar Sheba Ala Sono. He had relations with his donkey. Mandomar Kosein Ba Masahaya Kidamron. So it's the notice that he did sorcery with the Makomila, right? With his Erva. So that, we just said before, Mandomar Bala Sono Haya Ksiv Hacha Kara Shachav. So we'll say, it says over here, Kara Shachav, Ksiv Hasam. Bain Ragleha Amud Beis Kara Nafal Shachar. I will say, so this ultimately again is referenced by Sisra. Sisra, when he's in the tent of Ya'al HaKinani. So remember again, we saw before, some explain Ya'al HaKinani is one of the examples of an Aveir Lishma, that she had relations with him to weaken him, so that ultimately Ehud and Barak, I'm sorry, that Barak and Devorah ultimately again could catch up with him. She weakened him in the tent, so could catch up with him to kill him. Fine. V'yodea Das Elyon. So we'll say, what does it say? It says that Bilam knew Das Elyon. He knew the Das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Das Bem Dolo HaVayada Das Elyon HaVayada. So I don't understand. He couldn't control his donkey, as we'll discuss. He couldn't even control his donkey. But yeah, he knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll say, in general, again, person who can't control his donkey usually is not able to know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Ma Das Bem Dolo. So what does it mean he couldn't control it? He didn't know the Das of his donkey. We'll say, listen to this. Damrilei. My time alor achaf to susya. They both say when the noblemen of Moab are going back with Bilam to Balak, to Balak the king of Moab, so they say to Bilam, Bilam, why don't you ride on a horse? And that's why are you riding on a donkey? Why don't you ride on a horse? So what happens? Amarle shadoi le bidirtiva. Oh, my horses are at the pasture. You know, both say, you know, the Cadillac is in the shop. You know, it's in the right. The horses are out the pasture. I can't go ahead and ride them, so I'm using my donkey. So Amrale, hado anochi asoncha. So the donkey apparently begins to talk, and the donkey says, "What are you talking about? I'm your donkey, right? Meaning you use me every single day." Oh, to which Bilam responds, no, letiima ba'ama. Yes, I use you every day, but only to carry my possessions, only to carry the load. Asher achavta alai. Donkey, what are you talking about? You ride on me every single day. Akrai ba'ama. No, I don't ride on you every day. I just ride on you at times. Me'otcha ad hayom hazeh. Every single day. Right? From the last day until now. V'lo'ot. Furthermore, the donkey speaks up and says, Shani osa locha ma'ase ishus balayla. The donkey says, I'm your donkey by day and your wife at night. Speak about uncomfortable conversations, right? Ksiv hacha, haskein iskanti, because again, the donkey says, haskein iskanti, literally, you've become accustomed to using me. Uksiv hasam, utihi lo socheret. So we'll say, this is by David HaMelech. So by David HaMelech, ultimately, again, by Avishag HaShunamis, she was an accompaniment to him. So you see that lashon again of accompaniment by Avishag HaShunamis, the lashon is used by the donkey of Bilam. Elamai v'yodei das alyon. So what does it mean that Bilam knew the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shehayodei lechavin osa shah shehakadosh baruch hu koispa. That what Bilam was able to do is that Bilam ultimately, again, Bilam was able to know the exact moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. So Abel said, if Bilam knew the moment that God got angry and therefore felt that if he could curse Klal Yisrael in that moment, then his curse ultimately again would come true. Finally, the Kamili Navidi Yisrael, Ami, Zuchar Na Mayat Balak Melech Moav. Ma'ana osa bilam ben ba'armin ashitim vada gilgal. Leman das tzidkas Hashem. So you should know the tzedakah. Tzidkas Hashem, you should know the tzedakah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for you. My leman das tzidkas Hashem. What's the great tzedakah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us? Amalan HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, Du'u na kama tzedakos asisi imachem. See how many acts of tzedakah I did for you. Shalokaasti kolos hanayamim me Bilam arasha. Bon Shalom says, all the days that Bilam tried to curse you, I never got angry. I never had that moment of divine wrath. Shalomalekaasti kolos hanayamim. Because had I gotten angry during those days, and had Bilam been able to identify the exact moment of my divine wrath, then what? Lo nishtayir misonein shel Yisrael sarit upalit. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, had I gotten angry those days, and had Bilam been able to identify that moment of anger, his curse would have come true, and there would be nothing left to the sinners of Klal Yisrael. So this is what Bilam said to Balak. So ultimately, again, Bilam says to Balak, I don't know what you want from me. I can't curse if God's not going to curse. In other words, what Bilam was saying is, I was banking on the fact that God gets angry for a moment. I know the moment of God, and therefore I'll be able to curse Klal Yisrael. O san hayamim lo zo'em Hashem. Also, ultimately, again, Bilam says, I can't do anything. Boshan was chosen not to get angry during these days. Therefore, I have no recourse against the people. Kel zo'em b'chol yom. Rivosham gets angry every single day. Vekama za'amo. How long does God's wrath last? Rega. We'll say it lasts for just a moment. Shine Amar, ki rega biapo chayim bertzono. Because Rivosham's wrath only lasts for a moment. Chayim bertzono. One could spend a lifetime with the divine goodwill. Ibai seima. Otherwise, we learn from this other pasuk. Lechami bo bechadarecha. Usigor dales dalsecha ba'ad dal. Usgor dalascha ba'adecha. Chavi kimat rego ad ya'avor za'am. Rebbe Shalom says, please, my nation, go, close the door behind you, because chavi kimat rega, just close yourself off for a moment, ad ya'avor za'am, until the moment of divine wrath passes. So, Rebbe, you see from here, Rebbe Shalom gets angry for just a moment, and Bilam knew that moment. Bilam, so the Gemara says, So Bilam's whole plan was, I know the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, I'm going to curse Klal Yisrael in that moment, and therefore the curse will come true. The miracle that occurred is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't get angry all of those days. So the Gemara says, Imas Rasach. So by the way, when is that moment? Just out of curiosity, when is the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry? Bitlas Shei Kamaisa. It takes place during the first 3 hours of the day. Ki Chivra Karbalta de Tarnagola. Both say when literally like the hair of the rooster, the comb of the rooster becomes white. So the Gemara says, 1 second, kol shayte v'shayte nami chavra. The comb of the rooster is always right, is always white. Kol shayte v'shayte is be suriki sumaki, hayi shayte les be suriki sumaki. Both say, during the rest of the hours of the day, the comb of the rooster always has streaks of red. But there's a moment during the first 3 hours of the day when the comb is fully white. Fully white, has no red in it. So what's the Gemara tells the Ma'isa? Ha'imin, ha'um mina, da'ava k'b'shevi, u'sei d'radi Yosheb and Levi. There was about say, a particular min, a particular apikores, who lived in the community, who lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yosheb and Levi, da'ava k'met tsa'ere lei, that caused Rabbi Yosheb and Levi an incredible amount of tsar. So Rabbi Yosheb and Levi finally has enough. And what does he decide? Yom achad, nakit tanagolta va'asra lei b'kare. So one day, what does Rabbi Yosheb and Levi do? About say, he takes a rooster, He ties it to his bedpost. Vosif v'amar kimate yishaita ilatye. So we'll say, what's Rabbi Shimon Levi's plan? He's gonna curse the apikores. Apikores is gonna die. When is he gonna curse the apikores? At the moment of divine wrath. How do you know the moment of divine wrath? When the comb of the rooster turns white. How do you know when the comb of the rooster turns white? If mamish, you tie it to your bed, and what do you do? What do you do? Rooster watching. Mamish, you sit there, and you stare. This is before the days of Peter. Right? So you sit there, right? You sit there, and you stare. You sit there, and you stare at the rooster. Whenever the comb turns white, that's when he's going to go ahead, and he's going to curse them in. Well, so listen to this incredible maysa. Ki hava mata shaita, ki mata hu shaita. Well, say first of the wide line, nim. Well, say listen to this. In the moment, when literally the comb turns white, and would have been the opportune time to curse, what happens? Yerushalayim Levi falls asleep. He falls asleep. He dozed. Amar Abba says, so the whole night, the whole morning, his mamash watching. That split second, he happened to be dozing. So what did he learn from this? Shvamina la barachana. Abba says, what do you see from here? The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want us cursing people. Even happy curse. Kashbaruch Hu doesn't want us cursing people. So la barachara k'tichsev gam anosh letzadik lo tov. That it's not good for the tzaddik to mete out punishment for someone. So we'll say, it was an incredible, incredible mussar. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the apikarsim, even the reshaim, the Ribbono Shel Olam does not want us cursing. We'll say, which is such an incredible yisur. You know, unfortunately, we live in a time where people love to vilify others who they disagree with. We'll say, we see this in this country, in the political landscape, and Nebuch, you see it horribly in Eretz Yisrael now as well. There are some major political discussions and major differences of opinion unfolding, and often the names that are hurled, right, the insults that are hurled, that's not the way a Jew operates. We can have differences of opinion. We could have exceptionally vehement disagreements. The tzaddik never curses someone. The tzaddik never calls names to someone. The tzaddik can have ideological opposition, but the tzaddik never goes ahead and maligns and speaks negatively about another individual. And Rabbi Shimon Levi learned this lesson because as great as he was, he made the mistake of thinking that the resolution to this dispute was cursing the individual. What is Kadosh Baruch Hu? The Kadosh Baruch Hu causes him to fall asleep in that moment. It's not right for the tzaddik to curse someone. Even by the api cursing, the tzaddik doesn't curse someone. Tanur Shad Rabbi Meir. B'shash ha'cham ha'zoracha ha'samalochem ha'lichim manichem kisrein ha'roshein u'mishtachavim l'cham mi'ad kois. When is the moment that Kadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and gets upset? It will say it's in that moment where the sun comes up and the Gentile kings put on their crowns and they worship the sun. So Baruch Hashem gets incensed, he gets angry. How could they worship the sun? The sun is one of my creations, yet they're worshiping the sun and not me. That's the moment of divine wrath. So Baruch Hashem goes weiter. A very beautiful Gemara. Vayakam Bilam baboker vayachavoshes asono. Bilam got up early in the morning and he saddled his own donkey. Tanam mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Ava mevatelas shura, shura shel gedula. So we'll say we see love has the lashon of Rashi is ava makalkelas ashura. Ava love, but love makes people do crazy things. The idea is that love disrupts the normal order. Where do we know that from? The Avram, the chesiv, vayashkim Avram baboker. So we'll say the pasuk says by the akedah, Avram Avinu got up early in the morning by a chavosh eschamar and he saddled his donkey. Avram's love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to carry out the tzivoy of the Akedah was so great. Love makes people forget the normal order, the normal hierarchy. In other words, Avram Avinu was at a point in his life where he didn't need to saddle his own donkey. He had people who could do this for him. But yet his incredible love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu or his love for Yitzchak, Machlokes, which love we're talking about, ultimately disrupted the natural order. Sina mevatel ashura, shel gedula. Both say hatred also goes ahead and disrupts the natural order. Shenemar, Vayakam Bilam, Vayachavosha. So says, listen to this. Avram and Bilam represent the two poles. What the Gemara is saying is strong emotion causes people to do things that is a natural departure from the normal order of things. So we learn that love gets people to do things that are out of the natural order that we learn from Avram Avinu. Ultimately, again, sinah, hatred gets people to do crazy things. That we learn from Bilam. I'm going to read the Marav. Li'olam yasak adam b'torah mitzvah. Afilu shol l'shma. I will say, so the Gemara says over here, that a person shall learn Torah, do mitzvahs, even shalom l'shma. How so? Shemitok shalom l'shma, bal l'shma. Because I will say, shalom l'shma, bal l'shma. Shebischar arbo amushtayim karbanos shikriv balak. Because I will say, remember again, Balak offers up 42 karbanos. Remember, what is Balak trying to do? He's trying to curse Kali Yisrael. But yet, at the end of the day, he offered up 42 karbanos. In the schus of those 42 karbanos, Zacha, the Yatsa Mimenu Rus. I will say, pretty profound statement. At the end of the day, he offered karbanos. And in the schus of those 42 karbanos, he has a descendant like Rus. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Huno, Rus Bito Shel Eglon, Ben Minosha Balak Malach Moav Haisa. Rus was the daughter of Eglon, who was the Ben Beno, the son, the grandson of Balak Melech Mon. Rabbi say it's more than his grandson, but the point the Gemara is making over here is that Rus, which Rabbi say, if you think about it, is a pretty dramatic statement that the mother of the Davidic line, the mother of the Mashiach, ultimately comes from Balak, who tried to eradicate Klal Yisrael by cursing them. But yet at the end of the day, he offered up 42 karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the zechus of that avoda, even though what? It was shelo lishma. Look at your grandma. What's the Rabbi say? Tells us sometimes we think that the little things we do don't matter. Rabbi say, let me just tell you something. If Balak goes ahead and gets to be the Zeda of the Melech HaMashiach for offering up 42 karbanos for the purpose of cursing Klal Yisrael, can you imagine the schar you get for putting on tefillin every morning? The schar you get for learning a black gemara of Sanhedrin? The schar you get for being nice to your kids, being nice to your wife, being nice to someone else? This is the schar you get for shelo lishma. Imagine the schar we get for lishma. Incredible, overwhelming gemara. Amrali Rava l'Rava bar Amari. Rava said to Rava bar Amari, Ksiv, Yitav Elokim es Shem Shlom Mishmecha, V'yigdal es Kisomis Kisacha. So listen, listen to this. This is by David HaMelech. After he appointed, remember again, David did something very interesting. David appointed Shlomo to be king while while David was still alive. Right? It was like, under normal circumstances, so the next king only became king when? When the previous king died. Something different happens with David. David appoints Shlomo as king while David is alive. Why does David do this? Because also remember again, while David is mamish dying, one of David's other sons, a boy by the name of Adonio ben Chagis, proclaims himself as king. David, in order to make a clear line of succession, appoints Shlomo as king. So what happens? So they give a bracha to Shlomo, and they essentially say to Shlomo, you should be even a greater king than your father. So says the Gemara, Orach ar lememer le lemalka hachi. What is it appropriate to say to the king, right, to say to Shlomo that he should be even greater than David? Or isn't that a little bit of a shtach to David HaMelech? Amrle me'in ka'amrle. They didn't tell David, they didn't tell Shlomo that he should be greater. Rather, they said to Shlomo that your monarchy should be like the monarchy, that you should have of the greatness of your father. Because we'll say, if we don't say this, then again, Tevorach minoshim yoel, eishes chever akini, minoshim bo'ohel tevorach. So we'll say, noshim bo'ohel maninu. So when they give a bracha to Yael, they say, minoshim bo'ohel tevorach. So who are the noshim bo'ohel? Who are the women of the tent? Right, before the women of the wall. Who are the women of the tent? Nashim ba'oam man ninu, Sarah Rivka Racha Valeya. Ultimate, it's a hard crowd on Sunday. I will say, I know something, I just want to tell you something. I was in a side, by the way. I find that the Olam is much more energetic at 5:45 in the morning than 8 o'clock, which I will say is an incredible Musar. See, at 5:45 in the morning, I will say, there's a lot more to fight against to get up. I think we have a lot more Siyata Dishmaya at 5:45 in the morning. 8 o'clock, the truth is, we're just like everybody else who sleeps in on Sunday morning. So 8 o'clock in the morning, there's no... 5:45 in the morning, Mamish is great Siyata Dishmaya. See, I mean, I don't want to say that there are blank looks, but like Mamish is like... Okay, maybe it's Nebuah. Maybe it's not blank looks. Maybe there's some people in the state of prophecy. But again, it's just an interesting observation. So says the Gemara... Who are the women of the tent? Maninu, Sarah, Rivka, Racha, Balea, Orach, Arle, Mehrach. So we'll say, are we saying that Yael is greater than the women of the tent? Is that Yael is greater than the Imos? Ela me'ein kamar. So rather what we're saying is the bracha was given to Yael is that she should have of the bracha of the Imos. How can I mean? So we'll say, when they were blessing Shlomo, they were saying, Shlomo, you should have like the greatness of your father. Not that you should be greater than your father. Pligi Rabbi Yossi Barachoni. Rabbi Yossi Barachoni. So listen to this. Rabbi Yossi Barachoni says, no. They were blessing Shlomo, that Shlomo should be greater than David. And it's okay. Bechol Adam Miskana Chutz Mi Beno V'Tamido. Mostly because the general klal, people, I'm jealous of someone else's success if their success eclipses my own, except for two people that a person is not jealous of. Who are the two people that a person is not jealous of? His own son and his Talmud. Mostly these are the two people in life where even if they become greater than me, there's no jealousy. Beno Mishlomo, so Beno Shlomo, because that's why, again, the advisors of David give Shlomo a bracha that he should be greater than David, right in front of David's face. And yet again, it's not a slight to David, because there's no greater happiness for David than to know that his son will be greater than him. V'tamid, Rabbi say, where do you know the Talmud from? Iba yisema, v'hina pishnai beruch chaylai. So it's possible that it's from Elisha and Elio. That when Elisha asks Elio, excuse me, when Elio asks Elisha, what bracha could I give you before I leave this world? So what does Elisha ask for? Rebbe, I want to be twice as great as you. What a chutzpah. What a chutzpah to ask for that kind of bracha. We see now that a Rebbe is thrilled when his Talmidim become greater than him. The other possibility ultimately is that it's from Yahushua. Let's just do a few more lines. I will say, by the way, I'll just point out to you, you know, the Sfas MS, just point out, Sfas MS goes ahead and says something amazing. The Sfas, I don't know, let's finish this first. Okay. We'll finish this up if we have time tomorrow, we'll do it. So Rabbi Shalom put words in the mouth of Bilam. Rabbi Elazar Omer Malach. So Rabbi Elazar says that Hashem Baruch Hu appointed a Malach to control the words that would come out of Bilam's mouth. Rabbi Yonasan Amar Chika. Rabbi Yonasan says, no, it was a hook. Literally, Kivyachal Kadosh Baruch Hu placed the hook in Bilam's mouth. What does that mean? The imagery is that the moment that Bilam would begin to say something that God didn't like, what would God do? He would shut his mouth. He would pull the hook. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Nebirchasu Sha'osa Rasha Atalam and Mahayi Belibo. But say from the bracha of Bilam, remember again, the brachos that Bilam says are the exact opposite of what he meant to say. So from the brachas, the Gemara says, you could see how he wanted to curse Klal Yisrael. So Bikesh Lomer Shlo Yulam Bate Knesios Bate Midrashos, Bilam wanted to curse us that we shouldn't have shuls, we shouldn't have Bate Medrash, and therefore what does he end up saying? Ma'atovu Ohalacha Yaakov. He blesses the tents of Yaakov. What's that? The tents refers to the shuls and the Bate Medrash. So from here you see, he wanted to curse us that we shouldn't have shuls and Bate Medrash. Lotisha Shechina Aleim. He wanted to curse us that the Shechina should not rest upon us. Umishkin Osecha Yisrael. Lo Sei Malchus Anim Shechas. He cursed us that ultimately, again, the monarchy of Klal Yisrael should not endure. Kinechalim Nitayu. Like streams that continue to flow. Again, remember, the bracha is the opposite of what he wanted to say. Lo Yelahem Zeis Mukramim. That we shouldn't have olive trees or vineyards. Skiganos alai nar. I will say it should be like gonos. It should be like gardens that ultimately sprout up by the river. Lo yehi rechan nodeif that are sent ultimately again should not waft kealim nitayu ninata Hashem. That ultimately again like fields of aloe that Hashem Baruch Hu planted. Lo yelam alachim balikoma, our kings should not have stature. Ka'arozim alimayim, like cedars who sit by the water. Lo yelam melech ben melech, we should not have dynastic monarchies. Yizal mayim midalyo. Lo tei malchusan sholetes beumos, that our monarchy should not have rulership over the nations of the world. Vizaro b'mayim rabim. Lo tia azam malchusan, that our monarchy should not be strong. Vayara me'agag malko. Lo tia emas malchusan, there should not be, no one should fear our monarchy. Vatinase malchuso. So we'll say, we'll stop over here. Well, we'll read more. Am Rabbi Abba, kulan chazu leklala, chutz mi bate knesios. So we'll stop over here, but ultimately again, Rabbi Abba says, in reality, all of Bilam's curses, unfortunately, did come true at different points in history, with the exception, ultimately, again, of the curse that we shouldn't have Bate Midrashos and Bate Knesios. Baruch Hashem, the one thing we've always had throughout all of our persecutions are strong shuls, strong Bate Medrash, the centers of Torah, the centers of Tefillah were always our anchors, even in difficult times. Shene Emar, Fayafoch Hashem Elokecha Lucha Saklala Lebracha, Ki Ahevcha Hashem Elokecha, Klala Below Klalos. Ultimately, again, unfortunately, the other curses that Bilam wanted to visit upon us, unfortunately, did come true at different times. But the one klal that he wanted to visit upon us, that we shouldn't have Bate Midrashos, that we shouldn't have Bate Knesios, ultimately, again, is the one thing that he wasn't able to do. Shabbosai also gives you a new insight just into the role of the shul, the role of the Beis Medrash. That Shabbosai, at the end of the day, even when everything else went wrong, at the end of the day, again, the shul, the Beis Medrash, always remained our anchor. We'll say, you know, just, we started last week, this chabura on the Eish Kodesh, that happens Monday nights in Rabbi Wien's shul, in Beezer, in Ranchley. So we'll say, the amazing thing about the Eish Kodesh, Monday nights, 8 o'clock, excuse me, the incredible thing about the Eish Kodesh, is where did the Piyajetzna give his drushes? Where did he give his drushes? In shul. And Shmuel said, meaning the first thing that he established was, we have to have a shul. We have to have a shul. There has to be a shul. The shul might be in a bunker, the shul might be in a basement, the shul's going to move around. But there has to be a shul. There has to be a Beis HaKnesses. There has to be a Beis Medrash. Because it's not a focal point. Without like a nerve center, without a place, ultimately, again, to anchor our Yiddishkeit, then the Nazis in Yimach Shem B'Zichron could be successful. It's incredible. That's where he delivered these drushes. I mean, well, he didn't put it online, obviously. Saying the drushes were delivered in the Beis HaKnesses, in Shul, in Davening. We'll say that's what Bilam understood. Bilam understood that the great Koach of Klal Yisrael is the Beis HaKnesses, is the Shul, is the Beis Medrash, because that's what brings us all together. That's what unifies us. And even when every single other curse of Bilam did come true throughout the ages, the fact that Baruch Hashem, we kept the nerve center of our Yiddishkeit intact, that's what's preserved us, that's what's kept us, and that's the source of our strength.